Please stand for our call to worship. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King? How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the Christ?
The garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green.
How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God?
By hearing again the words of the prophets, through spoken word and song.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Glory to God in the highest.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father, we long for the simple beauty of Christmas, for all the old familiar melodies, words, and symbols that remind us of that great miracle when He who had made all things came one night as a babe to lie in the crook of a woman's arm. But in that longing, let us even more yearn for your renewed presence among us, even as we celebrate and expect the coming of your Son. Before such mystery, we kneel as we follow the shepherds and the wise men to bring you the gift of our love, a love we confess has not always been as warm or sincere or real as it should have been. Now, as we enter into this Advent season, we pray that love would find its beloved and from you receive the grace to make it pure again, warm and real. We bring you our gratitude for every token of your love, for all the ways you have heaped blessings upon us during the years that have gone before. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, that as we begin this four-week journey of expectation and hope, we may do it in a manner well-pleasing to you. May all we do and say, every tribute of our hearts, bring honor to your name, that we, your people, may remember your birth and feel your presence among us even yet. May the loving kindness of this Advent season and the true spirit of Christmas not only creep into our hearts this season, but there abide, so that not even the return to earthly cares and responsibilities, not all the festivities of our own devising, may cause it to creep away. May the joy and spirit of Christmas remain with us now and forever. In the name of Jesus, who came to save his people from their sins, even in that lovely name we pray. Amen.
The mystery of the Incarnation, John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The Christian use of candles, symbolic of Christ, the light of the world, is said to be a combination of Roman and Hebrew customs. An early writer said the wax represented Christ's body, the wick, his soul, and the flame, his divine nature. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, the light of the world, we light the candles of Advent. During this season, wherever you see a lighted candle, let it call to mind the one who brings light to our darkness, healing to our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him.
Thank you.
The Advent wreath is an old Christian custom originating in Germany centuries ago. The wreath is simply a circle of greenery around which four candles, one for each week of Advent, are equally spaced. Since green is the color of life and growth, and a circle has no beginning and no end, this wreath symbolizes eternity. The candles, representing the 4,000 years the world traditionally waited in darkness for Christ, are significant both in color and in light. Although several different traditional color arrangements are used for the candles, the one we use tonight is probably the most often used. The four candles on the edge of the wreath are violet. Violet is the color of repentance. The first candle is lit before the devotions on the first Sunday in Advent. During this first week, only one candle glows when we worship. On each succeeding Sunday, as we draw nearer to Christ's birthday, another candle is lit until finally all are aflame. The light these candles put forth may be small, but these flames, growing brighter each week, stress the growing power of Christ Jesus over darkness. On Christmas Eve, the candle within the circle is lit. This white candle is the Christ child, signifying that the light for our darkness has been born. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent season. We will light the first candle to remind us of forgiveness.
Thank you.
The prophet declares a child will be born, Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority will rest upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Because the needles of pine and fir trees appear not to die each season, the ancients saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. Therefore, we hang the greens and the wreaths to signify the eternal reign of Jesus Christ. The flaming star-like poinsettia, now recognized as one of our most highly cherished emblems, is a native of the American continent. It was first introduced to this country in 1828 by Dr. Joel Roberts Poinsett of Charleston, South Carolina, and given his name. Dr. Poinsett was our first ambassador to Mexico, and he discovered the distinctive flower called by the Mexicans and the people of Central America, Flor de la Noche Buena. As with many of our other Christmas traditions, the poinsettia has its legends. In one such Mexican legend, the poinsettia was originated in a miracle. A poor boy, with nothing to offer Christ at the local church, fell on his knees, affirming his desire to give the gift he had no money to buy. As he rose, the first flower of the holy night sprang from the ground at his feet. The boy broke some of the branches and laid his gift at the altar. Whether we believe in legends, we are truly grateful to those who helped develop the lovely poinsettia that adds grace and beauty to our homes and churches.
Thank you.
Chrisman is a combination of two words, Christ and monogram. Over the years, Chrisman ornaments have developed so that we now use more than just the monogram of Christ. We use other symbols that all refer to our Lord. These symbols were designed and carved or drawn by some of the earliest Christians. The monograms were found in many places, some on jewelry and utensils, others on doors or in catacombs of buildings. Early Christians used them to identify themselves to one another, to designate meeting places or the church, and to show their affiliation to unbelievers. All Chrismans are made in combinations of white and gold. White, the liturgical color for Christmas, refers to our Lord's purity and perfection. Gold, to his majesty and glory. The Chrisman tree, a sign begun in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia, has now spread to many other congregations. This evergreen tree is covered with signs of Christ, such as stars. With the Chrismans, we use tiny white lights on the tree to represent Christ as the light of the world. May these symbols from the community of love, the Christian Church, continually remind us of God's greatest gift to us all, Jesus Christ. Please join us in the prayer of dedication for the Chrisman tree. Holy Lord, we come with joy to celebrate the birth of your Son, who rescued us from the darkness of sin by making the cross a tree of life and light. May this tree, arrayed in splendor, remind us of the life-giving cross of Christ, that we may always rejoice in the new life that shines in our hearts. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The fourth servant song from Isaiah. Who has believed what we've heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For Christians, this passage from Isaiah reflects the sufferings of Jesus, who saved us from our sins by his death on the cross and by his resurrection from the dead. In ancient times, holly and ivy were considered signs of Christ's passion. Their prickly leaves suggested the crown of thorns, the red berries, the blood of the Savior, and the bitter bark, the drink offered to Jesus on the cross. As we hang the holly and ivy, let us rejoice in the coming of Jesus, our Savior.
Thank you.
Away in a Manger is a favorite carol of children. Many boys and girls get a vivid impression of the circumstances under which Christ was born from nativity scenes. This Christmas custom is said to have originated in the church as early as the 8th century. St. Francis of Assisi popularized the reenactment of the birth of the Christ child as part of the Christmas observance when he set up a manger scene in a little town in Italy in 1224. Tradition holds that the first reenactment took place in a cave on a hill. St. Francis himself arranged the scene using a manger, straw, a live ox and ass, and a life-sized wax figure of the Christ child. Real people took the parts of Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Worshippers were so impressed by the ceremony that they repeated the rites year after year. Gradually, the custom spread to distant parts of the world. During the 18th century, many immigrants came to this country from Moravia, bringing their version of the nativity scene to display in homes and churches. Today, we find small nativity scenes on a tabletop or under a tree, and large life-size ones in town squares. These representations of the Christmas story remind us of that night when the shepherds saw the first nativity scene in Bethlehem.
Thank you.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Please join me in our prayer. Send, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world the light of your Son. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people. And so direct our steps that we may ever walk in the way revealed to us, as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelled, who now and ever reigns in our hearts forever, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. benediction, I want to make sure that you all know you are invited to refreshments and the fellowship hall just this way. Everyone is invited. Now receive this blessing. Now may the God who has called us to live in hope and expectation go with you as you journey in faith toward that new future created by God's love that has dwelt and continues to dwell among us and in us. Go in His peace and in His grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.